Hallelujah. So get ready for Sunday. Sunday's already here. And we're going to have a wonderful time. Amen. All right, let me just tidy up some loose ends this morning, because along the lines we've been looking at when it comes to forgiveness. Amen. Some of us still have some questions, I believe. Hebrews in chapter 10. That's where we were. Isn't that where we stopped? Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, can you please help me control this a little bit so that it doesn't disturb the mic? Thank you. Hebrews chapter 10. How many of us remember what we've said so far about forgiveness? We looked at the parable of the what people call the prodigal son. We saw how the father welcomed him, isn't it? We noticed that the father never raised accusation, never raised condemnation. We noticed that the father's attitude towards the son was to receive the son back in peace. So the father never condemned the son, never mentioned what the son did. But we noticed that the son was the one who was concerned about what he did, and he was the one who was telling the father what he did, but the father welcomed him back. Then we noticed something interesting, that even though the father already put on a robe on him, put shoes on his feet, put ring on his finger, the father told them, bring the fatted calf, that we may rejoice and be merry. Hallelujah. So we said that Christ in that parable is the fatted calf. That means that the reason why, listen carefully, that Jesus was crucified and sacrificed wasn't so as to make God forgive you, because he forgave you even before Christ died. Christ's crucifixion is the manifestation of Father's love for you. Then there's a difference. Hallelujah. There's a difference. I'm wearing a wedding ring. What does this ring mean to you? What does it say when you see it? What does it say when you see it? Okay, now, do I need this to remind myself I'm married? If I need this, I need help. So this ring is a token to people that I am married. I have a wife. But this ring is not a token to me that I have a wife. I better know I have a wife. Or I'll be sacked. You understand? So my wife is in my heart. But the ring is a physical token to let people know that this man is married. So in the same way also, the disposition of love towards man is something that has always been that way. God didn't suddenly become born again in New Testament. That's picture people have. You know that God, after Jesus died, now became born again. Just like he got born again. God also got born again. He's no longer doing evil things. He's not doing good. He has changed his character. But Malachi 3:6 is, I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of you. So we saw in the scriptures that many times God was misrepresented by many of the Old Testament prophets and preachers, because they saw in part, they knew in part. They didn't have a full revelation, because their nature couldn't contain the revelation of God's personality. So we saw, look at Hebrews chapter 1. Let's start from Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. For the sake of those who are just joining us, I'm sure if you say one or two things that we said before, it will help us. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. See, what is God who has sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. I want you to notice the description and introduction of the personality of Jesus. The Bible says he's the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory. That means that when you see Jesus, you are looking at God himself. It means you can't get a greater revelation of God outside of Christ. The Bible now says God who spoke in time past in different manners, separate portions of revelation to the fathers, as in these last days. That phrase, as in these last days, as though at last he has spoken by his Son. Why does the Bible use that term? It's as though God was looking for a way to convey in full measure his person, his character, his nature. But he wasn't able to convey it fully through men who were spiritually dead, because they colored whatever they had with their own interpretation. Hallelujah. But in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So that phrase, speaking to us by his Son, is not just Jesus preaching or teaching. He's telling you Jesus himself is a message. Hallelujah. Jesus himself is a message. So when you see Jesus, you're seeing all that God is. You're seeing how he acts, how he thinks. When you see Jesus in the four Gospels, physically in the body, walking on the shores of Galilee, you're seeing how the Father is in truth. And the way the Father was demonstrated to Jesus Christ was contrary to what the Pharisees and the Jewish scribes understood. So there were many things he said and did that was contrary to what they had believed. Their religious persuasions were challenged by Jesus' conduct. So we saw in John chapter 8, the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus' disposition towards this woman was different from what they thought God would do. They came to Jesus and said that, Moses said we should stone her. What do you say? Jesus didn't answer them. So who brought the accusation against the woman? God or the Pharisees? Pharisees. Who confessed sins to the Father? The Father accused the Son, or the Son confessed his sins to the Father? Then the Father asked about the sins. The Father acted like he knew about the sins. So you notice that there's something inside of man before he is reborn, recreated. There's a guilt inside of man that came from the transgression of Adam. Now, we people now interpret that guilt, which is their conscience condemning them, to mean God is condemning them. So when those accusers of that woman, when they left that woman, Jesus asked her, where are your accusers? As no man accused thee, said, no man, Lord. Said, neither do I accuse you. It's not the accuser of brethren. It's the one that justifies the brethren. Glory to God. So they saw Jesus. In fact, that's one of the reasons why they couldn't understand this can be God. Many times he will go and sit with sinners and meet with them. And he'll say, if this man is really a man of God, he will know that these are sinners. Because they assume that every sinner that stands in God's presence either dies or loses out. But Jesus showed that God has never held men's sins against them. It's a real challenge among religious circles. It's a real challenge. So when you bring up these things, that's why Jesus had to convey some of those truths via parables. Because he couldn't say it openly. Even in a parable form, they were fighting him. If he said it fully open, they would kill him before his time. That's the truth. Because he is a revelation of the Father. So Jesus is your mind reset as to what who God is. Hallelujah. God who has sundry times in diverse manners spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. In this last days, or at last, he has spoken by his Son. So you look at him, he is the message. Whatever he says is the Father's character in its fullness. But we now saw glimpses in the Old Testament that there were men who walked with God, who understood in a measure this thing about God's nature and God's character. We saw that Jonah was exceedingly angry in the country of Nineveh. Jonah hated Nineveh to such a degree that he preferred to run away to Tarshish than to go and preach. Why was he running? Chapter 4 tells us that Jonah knew who God was. There's some passages you don't read on the surface. Jonah knew who God was. What did he know? He said, I know thee. You are slow to anger. And you are a God of loving kindness and mercy. And you have repented. Now God repented is that they assumed that God was one who would bring destruction upon Nineveh. But God told him to go and warn them that, listen, their sins will bring consequences of destruction. If you want them and they repent, does their repentance do? Their repentance doesn't make God change his mind, because God is not the instigator of evil. Their repentance was to make them receive God's mercy. If you understand, let me see your hand. You know, religion puts the cart before the horse. Their repentance was when they reduce it. God was one who wanted them to intervene. But if they continue the way they were doing, he couldn't intervene because they couldn't call for his help. They didn't even know that judgment was coming. Where was the judgment coming from? It wasn't coming from God. That's the problem that people have. What is God's judgment? Psalm 51. Let's read from verse 1. Psalm 51 from verse 1. We saw that last week, 2 weeks ago. Here's the prayer of David after his sin. See what it says. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy one loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Do what? Blot out my transgressions. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You understand why David is saying this now? When he says, don't just blot out my transgression. Now, me, myself, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Next verse. It says, for I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. That was the problem. David, though he had confessed the sin, David was trusting God to put his conscience of the effects of the sin. Look at the next verse. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou what? Judges. How, which judgment was David asking for? God's mercy. So let me put it this way. What is God's way of judging? His mercy. Let me say it another way, because you are still looking at what's going on. They brought the woman caught in act of adultery before Jesus. What, when they said that, Moses said we should stone her. But what do you say? What does that statement mean? How do you judge? What did Jesus say? Neither do I condemn thee. Go. I'll sin no more. That was God's judgment. What's his judgment? It's mercy. If you understand, let me see that. His mercy is his what? Judgment. Now, if you understand just that little part. If you tell somebody, God punish you, what have you done? What have you just done? God will catch you. You know, when somebody who is stronger, probably in a higher position than you, has done something, and you've tried to get what you call judgment and judgment, and you couldn't get it, and you are frustrated, now say, may God judge you. What you have just done is bless the person. How will God judge? Mercy. Can you understand? So God judge you, God punish you in your mind. What are you saying? God will show you. But what will God do when you have assigned him? You assigned God. What will he show the other person? Mercy. Glory to God. That is who he is. So his actions are not dependent on men's actions. His own actions and nature changes men's actions. As our God is. This is what David knew about God. Romans chapter 4, quickly. This is our time. What did Abraham discover about God? What did he discover about God? Look at the way Romans puts it. Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father's pertaining to the flesh? Notice this is our father's pertaining to the faith. Our father's pertaining to the flesh. What did he find? Next verse. For if Abraham were justified by actions, by conduct, he will have a reason to boast. That word glory, that's old English for boast. He will have a reason to glory. Because if Abraham's conduct and actions were 100% right, Abraham will have a legal right to boast and say, I dotted all the I's, I crossed all the T's, I put all my arrows in the straight line. So I have a right to what God is doing. So what it says, he will have wealth to boast of glory, but not before God. Look at the next verse. For what said, glory to God. What said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for all. What did Abraham believe about God? You are about to see it now shortly. Because it was the same thing that David believed. It means what was revealed to Abraham about God was when God called Abraham, God found him in idol worship. God saw the idol worship. God saw the practices. That means Abraham was used to sacrifices already. That's what idol worship is. So he was already involved in idol worship. God saw him and God called him. And God said, the only condition I want to give you for justifying is just believe me. And Abraham did. So when God found Abraham, who was Abraham? An ungodly person. And it's very interesting that in the New Testament, they didn't change the description. Some of you are very angry to find that Rahab is in the New Testament. Rahab the harlot. And they still put it there. The harlot. And she's in the lineage of Jesus. You don't like him. She's there. How? By faith. What did she believe in? See the next verse. Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not record. What's it called? Reward? The righteousness that God gave Abraham. How God justified him, it could have been seen as what you call a reward. It says, now to him that worketh, which is the one who actually did all the right conduct and character, he will have been given that as a reward for acting and living right. So he says, now to him that worketh is the reward, not record of grace, but of what the which is God will have hold him if he did everything right. Look at verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that what justifies thee ungodly, his faith is counted for. Hallelujah. That's what Abraham found. Abraham discovered that God is a God who justifies the ungodly. In other words, God didn't say, Abraham, change your actions. God just said, Abraham, believe me, that's all. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes what we are preaching to people is behavioral modification. Change your behavior. Be coming to church more regularly. God will have mercy upon you. No, that's not the way it works. It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It is man's logic that says if you change your actions, God will accept you. It is Christ's logic that says that I will accept you that you may change your actions. That's the way God functions. So God puts himself on the line, demonstrating his love, and then this love now brings about a changing, you know, the other way around. The first one is religion, the second one is called grace. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? So it says to him, look at next, for to him I'm walking on board, believing on him that justified your glory. His faith is counted for what righteousness. Look at next verse. Even as David also. So after Abraham, they pick somebody else who also saw this. He saw another aspect. He described the same thing in a different way. What did David say? The blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without conduct. God made him righteous irrespective of his character or conduct. That dazzles the mind. It kicks against religion entirely. How is this possible? But that's what Abraham found. That's what Abraham found about God. And David found the same thing also. So David says that the man is blessed. How does God regard blessing? The man that God has given righteousness without any qualification except faith. In other words, what is the man required to believe? That God is good and his mercy endures forever. He's meant to believe that God's tender mercies are forever. That's what David found. So that was why David was happy with God's tender mercies even when he missed it. See the next thing it says. Say, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Now, this is David. That was what David had under the old covenant. And under the old covenant, were David's sins forgiven? Were his sins forgiven? Were his iniquities covered? Look at the next verse. Blessed is man to whom the Lord will not, say will not. Now, if you notice the construction of that sentence, does that mean the man has not sinned? What is will not? What does that mean? He has sinned, it won't be counted. Listen, this is a man under the old testament. Now imagine you missed it. Guess who does the counting? You or God? You are the one who does the counting. You are the one who does the counting. Does God do any counting? No. You are the one who does the counting. Who else does the counting? Men. We caught this woman in the very act. Sorry, how do you catch somebody in the very act? Whether you are pity or you are involved in the act. I've never seen anybody caught in the very act before. That is it. Except you are also involved in the act. And if you are, that means you also are what? That's what, but that's really what he said. So in other words, when God was justifying them, he wasn't justifying them because they acted right. He was justifying them because they believed in his mercy. That's the issue. Hosea chapter 6, quickly. Let's run through some Old Testament scripture before we come back to Hebrews. If we get into Hebrews, we'll be stuck there. So let's. So it says, Hosea 6:6. See what God said. Jesus quoted this in the book of Matthew chapter 9. It says, for I desired one mercy and not. Did God want sacrifice? I will explain what that means today. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than what? Burnt offerings. So what did men use to replace the revelation of God's mercy? Sacrifice. Because they now have revelation, what did they offer God? Sacrifice. To appease. Why were they appeasing? They didn't have a revelation of God's what? Mercy. What else did God want? The knowledge of God is what I really desire. Who I am, my character, my nature, instead of what? Burnt offerings. So God never called for, never wanted. Somebody says, who called for it? The Lord called for burnt offerings. The Lord did. What does the Bible say about the law? John chapter 1 verse 17. For the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by. So the law is an imperfect system that was never fully sanctioned by God. Why then was the law given? Matthew chapter 19. This is like a crash course now. For us to get to where we're going. Matthew chapter 19. Let's read from verse 1. Matthew 19. Oh, because of our time. Okay. Go further, a little further down. Matthew 19. Quickly, let's see the answer of Jesus to the Pharisees. Jesus is an interesting person. Hallelujah. When you see Jesus, if according to the scriptures, Jesus is God, and Jesus' conduct absolutely represents God. God is more amusing than man thinks. God is interesting. I mean, this is Jesus who went with those disciples on the way to Emmaus. And when they got to a place, he pretended as though he would go. So Jesus can act. God does drama. You have not heard that part before. Have you heard it before? So he was waiting for them to call him. Where are we now? Verse 3. Let's read verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. They are no more two. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? So they assumed that Moses was perfectly representing God. And whatever Moses says is what God has said. Do you understand? Whenever you hear the word Moses, they are quoting the law. In the scriptures, in the New Testament, the word law and Moses are interchangeably used. So when the Bible talks about Moses, is referring to the law. So it says, why then did Moses command, or why did the law command us to put it? Look at Jesus' answer. Jesus' answer is not the answer they were expecting. Look at Jesus' answer. And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to what? Put it. What's the current English word for suffered? Allowed. In other words, Jesus told them that what Moses told you, listen carefully, is not what Moses practiced. Moses practiced faith, but he gave you the law because your hearts were hardened. You didn't believe. You didn't walk with God by faith. So Moses gave you what you could handle. What did he give you? The law. What was God's original plan? He made them male and female. Not male and females. You understand? It's not male and females. Male and female. That's all. He said, but why then did Moses say we can write a bill of divorce and put away our wives? So they had the wives. So they assumed that what they were doing was right. And they were quoting Moses, which is the law. And Jesus now told them, for the hardness of your heart. The hardness of your heart is really why Moses gave it law. So it means that that was never God's original intention. Moses was walking with God by faith, and Moses knew God's original heart and intention in the beginning, because it was one who wrote the book of Genesis. So in the beginning, before the transgression of Adam, this is what God planned, and everything that came after is not a narrative of what God planned. It's a narrative of how man was now was because of the hardness of his heart. So Jesus told them, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses gave you the law. If you understand, let me say that. So in other words, he was saying that you can't follow the law and please God. That's what he was saying. Because the law is not God's original word, intention. That's so important for you to understand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, understanding God's mercy and God's grace was God's original intent for every single man. Even the Jews. Look at Micah. Book of Micah. Feel like going to the back of the table of contents now, isn't it? Where's Micah? Micah, show. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Let's look at Micah 7, 18. Uncle Gite is about to bail you out. You should be buying Uncle Gite things. As he's building, look at Micah's narrative about God. It says, who is a God like unto thee that does what? Pardons. Now, this is God's CV. I mean, I don't even know what a CV is. Your CV. What do you have in your CV? A description of your accomplishments, your qualifications. And I said, who is a God like unto thee? How is he? He pardons iniquity, passes by the transgression, overlooks the sin of the remnant of his iniquity. He retains not his anger forever, because he what? Spots. God delights in what? Mercy. What is God's mercy? That is his judgment. God delights in what? Mercy. Who calls for judgment the way we know what judgment is? Man. Hallelujah. You need to understand that there's some things that were attributed to him that wasn't him. It was reported. But Jesus made us understand this is who he really is. This is how he really is. This is his conduct or disposition in all situations. So we're not rewriting the Bible. We're giving us an understanding of who God really is. Hallelujah. Remember where we started from. God was sundry times in diverse manner, speaking time past to the fathers by the prophets in these last days. If everything the prophets said was clearly accurate, there would have been no need for the Son. In these last days means at last he has spoken by his Son. Or, so to speak, God was saying, at last, who I really am can be made manifest. There will be no longer room for deception. Hallelujah. And we can see from the response of the Pharisees that obviously deception had been going on because they had misunderstood God's personality and God's character over the years. Glory to God. So, Hebrews chapter 10, now, because of our time, we have to run. Hebrews 10. We're going to read very fast. Hebrews 10 from verse 1. Let's read. For the Lord, having a shadow of good things come, are not very meek of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered out year by year. Notice the law caused people to offer sacrifice how? Year by year. Make the commas thereunto perfect. Next verse. For they will not they have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged. Notice that word, once purged. That is, once cleansed, once freed from the implication of their sins, should have had no more conscience or consciousness of what? Sins. So, what is God's original plan? His plan is that we will take care of sin once. What was the Lord doing? It was paying insurance premium on sin. You renew every year. You go and pay insurance. What was God's plan? Once. In other words, if it's God, God's signature, when he moves, is that I will do it once, because God is the author of perfection. So, see what it says there. Look at the next verse, quickly, because of our time. But in those sacrifices, which they offered under the law, there is what? In remembrance of what he's saying. The sacrifices they offered couldn't put sin away. The word put away means that to divorce sin, to take it out of existence. The sacrifice couldn't. What was sacrifice doing? Covering it. So, it will cover it such that consequences of that sin will not manifest in the lives of those people. Where was the consequence coming from? It wasn't coming from God. It was coming from the sin itself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the scripture that says the soul that sinneth that shall die is not what God said. It's what man said based on the situation. In other words, it was something that they discovered. The same way God announced to Adam in the garden, the day you eat of that tree, what will happen? Is that the same thing as the day you eat of the tree, I will kill you? Is that the same thing? So, if I announce to you that if you jump off this building, you will break your leg. Have I broken your leg? The same thing. So, there's a consequence to sin. What's the consequence of sin? Death. So, the sacrifice will cover the sin so that the consequence wouldn't come. Look at the next verse. Notice there's a remembrance. Wherefore, when he, who is he now? Jesus. When he came into the world, this is what he said. Sacrifice and offering you didn't want. But the body have you won? Prepared. What does it mean? That you are going to be my revelation to the people who I really am. Not the sacrifice, not the offering. Remember what he said in Hosea 6:6, which is that I will rather have mercy than what? Sacrifice. The knowledge of God instead of what? Burnt offerings. Are you with me so far? So burnt offering was never God's original plan. Because all the burnt offering good was to cover sin. If it's covered, it's still there. If it's covered, he only delays consequences. Was God forgiving? Yes, he forgave. But it wasn't the one who was responsible for the consequences. So to forgive wasn't a problem with God. It wasn't that Jesus is there, make God forgive. We'll see what Jesus is there made available shortly. See what it says now. For it is not possible, glory to God, that the blood of bulls and goats should take away. Look at that phrase, take away. That means take it such that it is no longer in existence and there's no record. Listen carefully. If sin, listen carefully, is taken away, and sin brings death. What happens to death when sin goes? What happens to death when sin goes? So you see shortly. See what it says. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh, he said, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but the body has thou prepared me. Next verse. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have had no pleasure. Next verse. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do what? Your will, O God. What is God's will? That sin should be permanently removed, never to occur again. That's God's plan. See the next verse it says. Above when he says sacrifice and offering in the burnt offering for sin, that would have not. Then that has special daring, which are offered by the law. Verse 9. Then he said, no, I come to do your will, O God. It takes away the first that he may establish the, what was the first? Repeated burnt offerings for sin. Where there was always what? A remembrance of sin. So he took that one away. What did he want to establish? The second. What's the second? The New Testament. What is special about the unique New Testament? Look at what it says next. By the which will, or this will of God, this second will of God, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for. Stop. Did he say God is pacified by the offering of the body of Jesus? You need to read this intelligently. Did he say God is pacified? He said, we are sanctified. So, who needed Jesus to die? God or you? He didn't say that very boldly. Because if you think God took a knife and killed his son, you've not made him a murderer. Who needed Jesus to die? You. Me. We needed Jesus to die. Why did we need him to die? Remember, after they put a garment on the son when he came back, he still wasn't smiling. They put shoes, he still wasn't with yourself. They put ring. When they killed the fatted calf, he's only killed to show that you are a son. So why would the fatted calf killed? To make the son feel or accept the fact we are still treating you like a son. If you understand me, you understand. So who needed Jesus to die? God? No. It was we. We are the ones who did it. Who was angry, man or God? You see, you even know how to answer. It's man that was angry. It's my book of Bible stories. The things you've heard, you are still like, no. That is why men are still seeing visions. God is angry, very angry. God came in the month of April. He saw we're not ready. He said, we'll come back again. He came in June, we're still not ready. He said, I'll give it in November. God, he came and said, you were not ready. If you are not ready, he is not ready. He is the head, we are the body. How can your head be ready and your body is not ready? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him where? In glory. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as we are not ready then. It's the visions that come from people with wrong religious mindsets. You are his body. You didn't say you are his body. He said you are his body. Think about it. He said you are his body. How can the head be ready and the body is not ready? Who is responsible for preparing the body? Hallelujah. Can you see there's something wrong with those visions? And because we believe the testimony of men above the authority of God's word, we are quick to believe in that vision. But if you're very carnal and you're thinking, you will carry visions up and down. And it's that vision that you are peddling around instead of the authority of God's word. See what it says. So we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How? Once and for all. Look at the next verse. Under the law, every priest stands daily, ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take it. What is God's will? To permanently what? Take away sin. So look at the next verse. But this man, hallelujah. Glory to God. The writer of Hebrews uses this terminology about three times. But this man, this our man, hallelujah, this lover of our soul, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. He offered one sacrifice. He offered it forever. And he sat to show there would never need to be another sacrifice offered. That's what he did. That was the will of God. That there will no longer be a remembrance of sin. It will be done continually. Look at chapter 9, verse 12. Quickly. Chapter 9. Glory to God. See what Jesus did? Neither by the blood of goats and bulls, but by his own blood, he entered in once. Say once. Hallelujah. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Let's verse. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an ephah, sprinkling the unclean sacrifice to the provider of flesh, verse 14 now, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from what? Dead works to serve the living God. Next verse. For this cause is a mediator of what? The New Testament. Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7. Quickly. Let's read from verse 23. Glory to God. Chapter 7. Now, see what the Bible says under the law. Under the law, there were many priests because they were not suffered to continue their priestly office by reason of what? Death. Which means when they get to a particular age. Now, listen, it wasn't only age that killed them, old age. Some of them didn't finish, which means some of them they entered wrongly and they received consequences of their actions, so they couldn't continue their office. So they are not being able to continue their office was like a parable to us that as long as his animal sacrifices that have been offered for sin, he can't really deal permanently with sin. Hallelujah. Because this is what they will do. They will offer sacrifice for themselves and for the people. So the one who is offering sacrifice is also a sinner. That was the issue. But let's see what happened about Jesus. Glory to God. But this man, you see that meditation again. But this man, because he continues ever, he has what? An unchangeable priesthood. What is an unchangeable priesthood? An unchangeable sacrifice. an unthinkable ministry, an unthinkable mercy, an unthinkable redemption. That's what he's saying. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Look at next verse. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To make intercession for them. How were you forgiven once and for all? That's difficult for a lot of people to agree. Are you saying when I sin next, I don't have to go to ask God for forgiveness? You were forgiven even for that one also. He did it once and for all. Someone said, but my mind, that's the issue. You need to renew your mind. That when God's signature is once, because his signature is perfection. He doesn't do anything repeated is imperfection. But he is what? Perfection. When he does this, it is once and what? For all. Glory to God. That's very important. So why did he die? He died so that sin can be put away. Who needed him to die? We and I need him to die. His death was to put away sins permanently so that the consequence of sin, which is what death, should not come. Look at Colossians chapter 2 quickly. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. So much to say, so little time to say it. Colossians 2 verse 13. Are you coming along this morning? Hallelujah. This is why you need to be in believer's class. It's important. If you not attend a believer's class, membership class, it's so important that you attend those classes, because there's some things that we're teaching there. You know, people think that when we teach about salvation, it's basic. It's for beginners. Which beginners? It's your life journey. It's something you're going to understand all through your walk with God. Salvation is everything to a believer, because it's loaded with so many truths. It has to do with your identity and mind. See what it says. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him. Who is him? Who is him? Who is him? Having forgiven you all, say all trespasses. What is the Greek word for all? What's Greek word for all? What's Greek word for all? You are looking for him. It's all. What's the meaning behind all? It's all. It's the same thing as it's all. Greek word, the meaning behind it is still all. Say all. Say all mean all, less none. That's important. Notice the phraseology. It says, he has quickened together with him, having forgiven. Now, listen carefully. Why were you quickened? What quickened means made alive with Christ. Why were you quickened together with him? Because you were forgiven all false sins. Listen carefully. Which one comes before? Being quickened or being forgiven? English students. Which one comes? Being quickened or being forgiven? Being quickened or being forgiven? You see, mixed multitude answers. Being quickened or being forgiven? Let's read it again. You've been dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Which one comes first? Quickened or forgiven? So listen carefully. What did David experience? Forgiveness. What did Abraham experience? Forgiveness. What did you experience beyond Abraham? You were quickened. That's what the sacrifice of Jesus did for you that they didn't have. You were quickened or made alive in him. Hallelujah. Are you getting it now? So it is because you were forgiving that God quickened you. What does the quickening mean? It means you are now justified from every transgression, never to be accused again. Listen carefully. Do believers make mistakes? Yes. Do believers sin? 1 John 2 verse 1 says, this is right unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. Not for us only, but for the sins of what? The whole world. What is he saying? If any man sin, he should remember, you have an advocate. Who is the advocate? Is your priest that will never change. He is the proof that that sin you just committed has been forgiven. That's what he's saying. Is your lawyer. It's almost says that was also forgiven. That was also part of what was paid for. In other words, when you mention that the believer has been quickened, you can't mention sin with him again. To be quickened means he's not being made alive. It means he's walking in newness of life. He is seen as a new creature. If you mention or record sin against a believer, before God, you are recording sin against Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm looking at your faces. Is this new age teaching? Somebody accused me on Facebook. False teacher, go and rewrite your Bible. I didn't get angry, I was just laughing. I was false teacher, go and rewrite the Bible. So I wrote back to him, sir. I'm very polite, sir. If you've never met you, don't know me, I don't know you. If you have an issue with the post, the proper thing is to ask the author to give you scriptures. Number one. Number two, proper decorum as a minister, which I assume you are. If you have any sense, you will know that I just passed something to you. Is that this is what you are missing? Because if you don't understand, there were things that they told you some years back, you fought it. No, it can't be. Do you know what people have a problem with really when it comes to the gospel? People have a hard time believing God is this good. That's what people are really fighting. That's what religion fights. No, God can't be that good. I must pay some. There's only one problem. If they give you an inch to pay, you don't have what it takes to pay. Hallelujah. You don't have what it takes to pay. If that knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in, hallelujah. What do? You receive it with thanksgiving. You accept it. Against me can no accusation stand. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. That's the key. In Christ Jesus. You are not in yourself. You are in Him. Hallelujah. You are in Him. And when He was justified, you were stamped as justified also. That one means to be quickened. To be quickened means you are made alive. To be made alive means you are justified. Now, somebody says justified is made just as if I never sinned. You were justified. You passed this test. He passed it, but it was, I told you, you passed it together with Him. So you were not quickened separately for Him. You were quickened together. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Quickly. Run up shortly. Hebrews 2, 10. See what it says. For He became Him. For whom are all things? Sorry, am I moving too fast? You know, we're starting the Holy Ghost meeting next week, so we need to get this. For He became Him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. So what's God's intention? To bring many. That word bring means that God wanted many other sons exactly like Jesus. Where was Jesus in glory? What did God want? Other sons should also be in glory like He's in glory. So in bringing or making that vision, that dream possible, this is what God did. He became Him for whom are all things, by whom all, that's God Himself, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation, what? Perfect through, that word is perfected or complete through suffering. Look at the next verse. So that both He that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one, or they all have the same Father, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. Glory to God. Say, Jesus is my brother. We belong to the same family. We have the same Father. I am that mansion in the Father's house now. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Woo, glory. So when a believer makes mistakes, now, I didn't say that people think that you are unblameable. I said, God finds you unblameable because you are where? In Christ. So, look at it this way. Naturally speaking, your way of thinking, when you miss it, what do you feel like doing? Confessing your sins. Is a man. What should you do? Confess your advocate. Did you hear what I said? If you must confess, what should you confess? The advocacy of Jesus. Is a propitiation for my sins. Is a payment. He offers that grace once and for all. Once and for all. If you are keep confessing, what is being built inside you? Sin consciousness. Then what have you just done? You have refused to believe God's testimony. You know what you're saying? My sin is bigger than God's sacrifice. You are proud. Sorry, but you are proud. If you don't believe what God has done, it's because pride. That's what God sees as pride. It means that you believe in the potency of your own actions more than the actions of God that He did for you in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, you are still cooking together with Him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. All means all. And what it means? It means all less none. So there is nothing that God can ever record against you again. That's why God can boast and say in Romans chapter 8, who shall lay any charge against God's elect? Seeing it is God that justifies. Who is it that condemns? It is Christ that died. Hallelujah. That's God's personal testimony about you. Hallelujah. When you make a mistake or you miss it in church, as a church, should we discipline you? Yes, we will. Because this is a family. We will. We don't tolerate long run conduct. But we're saying, how does the Father see you still? It doesn't change. It doesn't change. Can I come and just slap you and say that God is not seeing it? But you are seeing it. Your eyes are even seeing stars as you are seeing it. I hope you understand the difference. When we are showing you God's side, we're not saying that it means you condone anything. No. You are still admonished throughout the epistles how to live and what to do and how to behave yourself. So conduct is heavy in the epistles. Hallelujah. Moses said you should know how to possess your vessel in sanctification when it comes to immorality. When it comes to those who steal, say, those who steal, let them steal no more. Say, those who are busybodies, let them mind their own business. Do you understand? So there's conduct. Let no corrupt communication. So he knows a believer can have what? Corrupt communication. I hope you understand the difference. But we're saying, as far as spiritually concerned, where God says you are holy and without blame before him in love. Christ's status is your status now before the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with... You know, you sometimes don't have peace with men. You don't have peace with men at all times. But being justified by faith, we have peace with what? With God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, when we say things like, you don't need to keep confessing your sin. When you do wrong, what do? You repent. What does repentance mean? You change your mind. Repentance is not penance. Penance was gotten from the Catholics. Penance is trying to punish yourself for what you have done wrong. That's abuse of God's goodness. You want to punish yourself for what God punished us for? Who told you your punishment of yourself is even enough in the first place? I mean, that means it's based on your own estimation of your shortcomings. And your estimation is wrong. God's estimation is right. Hallelujah. Penance is not repentance. Repentance means change your mind or renew your mind with the authority of God's word. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Say, there's therefore now no condemnation concerning me. For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. Look at that phrase, the law of the Spirit, which is where? In Christ. The law of the Spirit is the law of faith, is the law of justification. And because you have been justified, you are now free from the consequences of sin, which brings death. That's what he's saying. So should a believer expect to be punished when he misses it? No, as far as God is concerned. Why? Your sins have been eternally paid for. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ, has made me free, has delivered me, rescued me from the effect of the law of sin, which brings what? Death. Hallelujah. 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 It's so important that we understand these simple truths. You see, somebody, you see long debates on social media. How can you say we must not confess our sin? We must confess. You have your right. I leave with you. You have a right to see yourself as a sinner. All of you who are the way you are living, you cannot make heaven. Thank God, since you are the gate man of heaven. You are the one who is keeping heaven. You are the one who is keeping it. You are the one who is giving passport to those who are going to heaven. It's very wicked. Just why? Because they are using human thinking to try to figure out God. When is the revelation of the truth of God's word? How can you use human thinking to figure out a God who was able to figure out how his love could make him become a man? You don't know what it means for the creator of the universe to fashion out a way to manifest in the flesh. That is more than a miracle. It's staggering. And he could constrain himself to a physical body. He that has no limits. And you're trying to use it instead of revelation to figure it out. That's why people come up with all these funny visions and ideas. I saw a film some years ago. Somebody gave my wife. My wife returned it quickly. You know, you don't know what is inside. This is a Oloriota. May God deliver us. This young man, he committed sin. He was a believer, some believer. He confessed to God to forgive him. He confessed to his friend to forgive him. He had one ailment. He now died. As he was now walking towards heaven. You know, people say, oh my goodness. Satan said, no, you can't come here. Satan is telling you, you can't go to heaven. What is he doing on the way to heaven? Does he know the way to heaven? Some things are talking. He didn't even know where to start from. Like, oh my God. My must you have a grammar ministry? Must you? Is it by force? When you don't know anything about the scriptures, I'm like, I'm just thinking. See, that is Bible. It's not even Peter says here. How ridiculous can you get? I don't understand. Guess what was the reason why I can't go? You didn't confess before the brethren. I'm telling you. You didn't confess before the brethren. Is that in the Bible? No. Confess your faults one to another. Who is another? The one you committed sin against. I'm sorry about last week. I know I did act. I'm really sorry about it. Have you seen how they use that scripture in some crusades? It's terrible. Brethren, praise the Lord. I was once a witch. You will never get us back. Brothers are there, but I'm not saved. I've been saved for 2 years. Praise the Lord. There will be some left. Some will still be there. They won't come here. You see, because they say we should confess our sin. We confess that. You give people information they don't need. How are you doing? And you are now giving, you create warfare in their mind. When that person gives you, say, sorry, wait up. Sister, God bless you. When your daughter is praying, they say, don't go there. You have used a man to say, we didn't need that information. We didn't need that information. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. And all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself, to Christ Jesus. Glory to God. That's who we are. We have been justified. Sin can't be mentioned concerning us again. That's why Paul told us, walk in the newness of life, and you will never obey the dictates of sin any longer. Sin is not an issue with God. It shouldn't be an issue with you also. Walk in the light of who you are in Christ. You are more than forgiven. You have been made alive in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. That's how it is when it comes to our walk. It's so important. It is that thing, that revelation that will strengthen your walk. You will see that you are not fighting sin. You are just living the life that God has given you. And that life automatically doesn't do certain things. It's just, you're not trying not to. That's religion again. That's going back to works. No, you just live with the victory. It means your account was credited before you could qualify for what was in it. That's what it means. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. No love is sweeter than that. No love is greater than that. Lift up your hands this morning and give him thanks and give him praise. Say boldly, I'm justified by faith. I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Let's sing our song. I